But let's talk, let's at least set the scene a little bit. It is Tisha B'Av. You know that very well. Many of us are counting down the minutes until we can finally break the fast. But after a full day without food or water, the way you eat tonight, it actually really, really matters. So we're going to be chatting to a dietitian, Jenna Selly, in order to help us understand what your body actually needs, what to start with and what to avoid so you don't go from hungry to uncomfortable in exactly 5 minutes. Jenna, thank you so very much for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you so much for me.
So let's start really simple. After a full day without food or water, what's actually happening in the body by the time our fast ends later this evening?
So I wouldn't necessarily say that your blood sugar is low, because the body does have mechanisms in which to maintain blood sugar levels throughout the day. For example, you know, hepatic gluconeogenesis, where your liver breaks down its own glycogen reserves to maintain your blood sugar levels. So you could say that they're probably maintained, but they're running on empty. You know, your body is tapped into its reserves during the day, and they need to be replenished. So clearly what we would like to maybe start with is just a little bit of water. I would definitely say prioritizing the hydration is important just to start. You know, it's not very strong research, but there is weak research to support that, you know, having some water, even warm water specifically, can help a little bit with gut peristalsis, which is the movement and of contents through the gut. So that's how I would probably start the breaking of the fast, is just with a little bit of water. And from there, you can move on to food.
Okay, so let's talk about this movement onto food. It makes absolute sense what you're saying about the water. Get some hydration into the system. People say, in terms of food, they say start slow. But I'm wondering, what does slow realistically mean when you're absolutely starving, hungry, grumpy, and thirsty?
Yes, you know, it might actually be worth starting with something that's a little bit easier to digest. So whether that's, you know, whatever food there is prepared, you know, sometimes people might start with like a cracker or something that's baked, something that's just a little bit easier to process. There's almost this tendency where we want to, you know, go straight for the bigger dishes because of the hunger, but we recommend just a much smaller portion. Even if it means that you need to wait about 30 minutes or so just for it to break down, food generally takes about 30 minutes to leave the stomach into the small intestine. So we just want it to then clear before we then bring on the other dishes from the air.
So Jenna, when I was growing up, my parents, I don't know where they got it from. I don't know if it's just custom or tradition or what, but they used to make us or encourage us to break our fasts on soda water and milk. I mean, it sounds absolutely revolting, but is there any kind of logic to soda water and milk?
I'm not going to lie. I'm not sure why soda milk, water and milk, and I don't know if there's listeners that do that specifically, because soda water tends to be very gassy, and gassy food, gassy drinks does definitely create satiety and fullness. And, you know, milk does have, you know, the proteins in it. It is also a very filling liquid, because it is quite complete milk. You know, it's got quite a balanced amount of carbs, protein and fat per cup. So I don't know, maybe there was just to help you feel a bit full so you don't overdo it when you do break the fast.
Maybe, could be. And then again, just thinking back to scenes from my childhood, I mean, there was oodles and oodles and oodles of tea. People would definitely head to the tea station. And then there were these sweet sort of buns, which were very starchy with a bit of cinnamon and sugar in them. So clearly between the sugar in the tea and the sugar in the babka buns, there's a bit of a sugar overload there. And I'm just wondering from a dietitian's perspective, I mean, that doesn't sound very helpful. You haven't eaten anything all day and suddenly you're going for the sugar big time.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Because especially, you know, with having come out of a fast, you know, your body's quite sensitive to the fact that the blood glucose levels are a little bit lower. And as soon as you have something that's quite easy to absorb, like something that's a bit higher GI, a little bit more refined, especially something with, you know, a baked good with sugar on top, you are going to have this blood sugar spike. And with a spike, will come a subsequent crash. You know, even just going for the tea station, you know, fortunately, if the tea is decaf, like a rooibos tea, it will count towards hydration. If it's a caffeine-containing tea, not as hydrating. But again, it's the sugar that's coming in that's going to cause that blood sugar spike.
Wow, Jenna.
Yeah, and we obviously want to avoid.
Turning out to be incredibly, incredibly useful. Here's another challenging question. Foods that cause trouble right after a fast, which are the ones that kind of sound comforting but actually make you feel worse and you should really stay away from? I guess we've spoken about the sugar component. Anything else?
I would probably say sugar is
your number one.
Is your main culprit. Yeah. In terms of the rate in which things take to digest, your carbohydrates are definitely your fastest to break down. If it does have a slightly higher fiber content, that at least will be digested a little bit slower and sustain your energy levels. Whereas protein and fat is also a lot slower to digest. So if you're having carbs in isolation on their own, you're going to have a much bigger, what we call glycemic spike or blood sugar spike, as opposed to if you had carbs with a protein and a fat combined with that. So I wouldn't necessarily condemn foods, maybe just the order, the quantity, and what you compare it with would be a better consideration.
Again, I'm going back to my own experience of fasting. I generally fast really badly, and I come out of fast days feeling really headachy and lightheaded. Given that scenario, what's the smartest first step from a nutrition perspective, other than a Nurofen or a Panado?
You know, if you're having a headache, that won't be because you haven't had protein or fat. It's definitely
water,
either
right?
Dehydration. Mm. Yeah, dehydration, or it could mean that your blood sugar levels are actually a little bit too low. Don't want to put you in the spotlight, but it might mean that your baseline blood sugar levels aren't very well maintained.
Yeah,
because
be.
there's a higher risk of your, you know, of struggling, you know, your blood sugar struggling to maintain an even balance, so to speak, throughout the day if there is poor blood sugar control.
Wow.
In general.
Yeah. Final question for you this afternoon. I'm just wondering if there are differences in how children and older adults or people with sensitive digestion should break a fast, or is the basic approach just the same?
I think obviously basic approach is just the same. We would just be wanting to watch portion sizes. I think children might have a tendency, if they're given a buffet, to go for sweeter things, so that might just need to be overseen.
Jenna Silly, clinical dietitian. That was so unbelievably interesting. Thank you for being with me here on The Home Run this afternoon.